I was going to use every one of them. Good morning, all.
Good morning.
Happy Surge Day.
Happy Surge Day.
Would you stand and would you sing with us?
For something big today.
Yes.
So am I. We're happy that you're here. Now, if you're visiting, we do this every week. We play games in the worship center. We've got tornadic activity. We've got a ship over here that's going to, you're going to know more about in just a second, including this little memorabilia piece right here. This is from the movie that you're going to see. Yeah, and it will be online, available for your purchase a little later on.
He chewed that for 8 hours in a row.
But this is the difference. This is a secret. This is how this happens. You can be a Southern guy by just slipping this in your mouth. Because you got a little tornadic activity that we're going to see in a little bit later. So I just want you to know, get ready for something big on the big screen today, okay? All right. Now, just something to tell you about Psalm 46:1. It's the theme of the day. God is a very present help in time of trouble. Even though the winds blow and the earth shakes, he will be there in our midst. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, what I want you to do right now, I want you to turn to everybody, and I want you to say, hunker down, we're all in this together. Thank you.
I guess I was just a little confused because if the song is I Can't Stop Singing About Your Love, then how's the song end? I was just...
It is the song that... Oh, sorry.
Okay, yeah. Happy Surge Day to all of you. If you need to be reminded, Surge Day is the day that we celebrate the day that the First Baptist Church of Winter Springs and Covenant Community Church didn't merge, but we surged together to form a new body, which is what we're doing right here. And so that this is our celebration of that day, and it's an exciting day, and so we're excited about it. But what you may or may not remember or know or that it matters, but both churches, First Baptist Winter Springs and Covenant, this would be the 25th year in ministry for both churches. Both were started in 1993. So today's celebration is a little bit extra special because it is a landmark of just how God took some ministries and moved them on an amazing track and then 3 years ago brought us together. And so we're celebrating that today. At Covenant, when we started back in the day, we always said if we could ever get to our first birthday, we would make it a big day because we simply survived. And looking back, that seems silly, but when we got that first birthday, I mean, if you've ever planted a church, been a part of that, you understand exactly what I'm saying. The fact that you survived is a big deal. And so we decided that we would always make birthdays just a little bit different. And so this is that day as it looks today. And so we call it Surge Day. It's a celebration day, and it's designed to have fun and at the same time just celebrate who he is and what he's done. Now, the theme today, as you have seen, is Church NATO. If you're not aware and you're not with that crowd that keeps up with such things, a few years ago, about 6 years ago, there was a little movie that came out called Sharknado. It was done by the Sci-Fi Channel, and what a concept. A hurricane comes through, spits out a tornado, it goes over the ocean, it sucks up sharks, and then the next thing you know, you've got this whirling storm full of man-eating sharks that are just moving across the land. What could be better and more believable? And so, last Easter, we were sitting under the little pavilion over at Longwood, kind of trying to figure out how to do our event over there in that historic district. And as we were eating lunch that day, we were talking about just church and ministry, and it was a fun and a silly conversation. And somewhere in the conversation, someone said, well, what's the theme for this year's birthday? And the answer just rolled out, Church NATO. And that's as spiritual as it got, Church NATO. And so the idea rolled forward. But as we continued to move forward, something else happened. I heard an interview, and somebody had said something. The question was, what is the most powerful thing in the universe? And the person who was being interviewed on television said, it's a Sharknado. What could be more powerful? And it dawned on me how much Sharknado, just as a gimmick, had become a part of cultural conversation. And I took that idea and I ran just a little bit because, you know, it's a far-fetched idea. I mean, it's kind of unbelievable, right? I've got one that's even better than that, though. How far-fetched is it that a bunch of regular, ordinary people would follow a Jewish rabbi who said he was the Son of God, who died and came back to life, and those 12 guys would begin a movement that would literally change the world and thousands of years later still keep moving? See, Sharknado becomes much more believable when you think about the fact that we, as God's people, are his A plan to reach the world. Talk about unbelievable power in the church within this group of people right now. We are God's plan to blow across our culture and change the places that we meet. And so we took that idea. We ran with it. Church NATO is the end result. We're going to sing a lot. It's going to be a lot of fun. We do have a film that we're going to show you that it's good. It's just as good as Sharknado, and we've got a couple other things that we'll show you along the way. We'll teach a little bit. We'll go to God's Word. We're going to have fun. Bow your heads and hearts, and let's pray together and ask God just to show up today and just do something amazing in our hearts as we worship. Lord, you are incredible. And before we ever got here, you were here. Before we ever started the journey of ministry, you knew this day would come. That's the way you work. And we spend most of our lives trying to catch up with you. We spend most of our lives trying to dance around and figure out what it is that you want us to do. But Heavenly Father, we come this day recognizing what an important day it is and what a gift it is. And we celebrate it. We celebrate you and your power and your majesty and the blessing that you have given us in one another and the opportunity to do ministry in this place. And so, God, even now as we continue our celebration, allow us to take our minds and our hearts and for just a few moments relax and focus completely on you, to be fully in the moment, to not be afraid to smile and enjoy it, and to recognize that each beat of our heart is a gift, and it's a gift that you give us so that we might better serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand?
Now, when you arrived this morning at 9, you walked into what was a Storm Chaser convention. And you've had the opportunity, if you've been around here for a little bit, to do a number of things that kind of tested your storm-chasing skills and tried to give you an opportunity to understand a little bit about how tornadoes work and have a little bit of fun. If you were here, you got to play with and design your own tornado tube. If you didn't get one, we've got one for you on the way out this morning, so you make sure you can grab that. But we did all of that because we did a little bit of film for you that I'm going to teach off of in just a minute that is all about chasing storms, but not just any storms, some very special storms. And so, if you would, look at the screen. Don't be afraid. Remember, at any point during this production, remind yourself it's only a movie. And you'll be fine. Take a look at Church, or for part one, actually, of Church NATO, because it's far too big for just one segment. Go ahead.
The word tornado comes from the Spanish word trondad, meaning thunderstorm. Tornadoes begin inside storm clouds, which are made up of warm, moist air. These large, dark clouds can grow to be tall and enormous. As warm air rises from the ground towards a dark thunderhead, it creates an updraft that pulls more warm, humid air with it. When the air rises to where the temperature is cooler, condensation occurs, creating rain or hail. The cool air falls back to Earth, creating a downdraft. Now, when the updraft crosses the downdraft, it can begin to spin into a funnel that reaches down towards the ground. The faster it spins, the stronger it becomes, and it draws in more air and becomes more powerful. When it touches the ground, a tornado is born. Normally, tornadoes emerge as storm fronts move across certain areas on the globe. And we can't predict them, but we know the signs. We know what to look for to keep people safe. However, this recent tornadic activity is not following any of the normal patterns. It's random. It's more powerful. Be aware of your surroundings. Keep your eyes open, and if you see one, take cover and hold on for your life.
Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for coming today. In case you don't know, I am Dr. Stormy Breeze, and I am the creator of the Vortex Incorporated. It is a very unique building, and although many have tried to copy it, it is the only building like it. So I am very honored that y'all are here today. Y'all are the most accomplished storm chasers in the world. So thank you so much for taking my invitation today.
You're welcome, Stormy. I have a question.
I would prefer that you call me Dr. Breeze, please.
Sure thing, Dr. Stormy. I still have a question.
And what would that be?
Well, I've heard a rumor that this building can actually create a tornado. Is that true?
That is crazy. You're telling me that this building can create a tornado? No.
Well, actually, it is possible. If you build a building in a certain way, it can exhibit and generate tornadic activity.
That is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Who would actually believe that a building can create tornadoes? I would. And that is why y'all are here.
We're here because this building can create tornadoes?
Yes, more or less. And that's why I've invited the greatest storm chasers in the world. Oh, and Richard. To be here today. I mean, we have the atmospheric attackers. We have the cyclone ninjas. And we have the staff at 434, all assembled here for the chance of a lifetime.
The chance of a lifetime? Huh. That sounds good to me.
Okay.
Back up for just a second. Go back to that part where you said this building can create tornadoes.
Of course. Let me explain. So when the heat rises, it creates a temperature differential and the air begins to swirl. And so the building you are actually seated in is a vortex building.
I've heard about buildings like this, but I've never been in one.
When have you heard about buildings like this?
I watch the Weather Channel.
So, let me get this straight. If this is a vortex building, then it would require a ginormous amount of heat. to create the temperature differential needed to make the air start to swirl like that.
Yes, that is correct. I can see why the atmosphere attackers are so respected. All right, so heated water was diverted from a nearby power plant into this building instead of a cooling tower. So with the superheated water, we are able to access huge volumes of hot air. This is actually the beginning of a whirlwind. As hot air rises, it gathers energy and creates a vortex that runs through the building, and then it climbs towards the atmosphere. So once we turn off the fans that push the hot air through the vortex, nature takes over. So the vortex, hungry for more, will continue to draw the air in on its own, and tornado will form.
That's crazy. People should not be creating tornadoes.
You realize that what you're suggesting is not only highly improbable, it's extremely dangerous.
No, Reverend Dixon. It is not improbable, it is probable. In fact, right here in this facility, we can create tornadoes.
And what about the danger part?
Isn't danger what you storm chasers live for?
I don't know about the rest of these folks, but I sure do. I live for the danger.
Well, I'm more interested in the science and research, the R&D, if you will. I like to look around this here building and check it out for myself.
That is crazy! So you're telling me that there is a tornado in this building?
That just doesn't seem safe to me. Yeah, but don't you know you can't control a tornado?
I think she does. That's why we're here, isn't it?
Actually, it is. We've accidentally had some tornadoes escape, and I am offering a huge cash grant to research for the storm chaser that can actually manage, control, and capture the tornado.
How large are we talking about?
Large.
That's crazy. No one just gives away money chasing storms.
Not just chasing.
No. She said someone had to manage, they had to control, and they had to capture this here storm.
Well, that looks like the atmosphere attackers are your team. Let's go.
Listen to him. The Cyclone Ninjas are your team. Let's go, team.
This is crazy. Let's go catch a tornado.
Let's go, Ninja.
Just received a new alert from the Continental Weather Service. Ladies and gentlemen, there is a storm that is moving across the Wakaiba Wildlife Reserve. And I hate to tell you, but it's pulled up some of the wildlife with it. And ladies and gentlemen, I never thought I'd say this. We've got a bear-nado. You heard me right. It's a bear-nado. This is a grizzly storm, people, and you better be taking cover. We're not talking about a teddy bear here. We're not playing around. So whatever you do, stay indoors, hunker down, and if you hear a growl, don't move towards your windows.
That's crazy! And I know that you were on the edge of your seats wondering how this ends, and we'll show you. But we were thinking about this, I want to make a point or two that you might actually pay attention to today, and it's important because it has everything to do with what we're talking about. But imagine, if you will, that this is your life, okay? Born here,
this is the timeline of your life. You're moving this way. Now, what I've got is just a tissue. Most of you, over the course of your lifetime, have used a tissue. You know what they are. You know what they do. It's not always something you want to use, but... you know, I threw that line and popped the rubber band at the same time because, well, I just got carried away. And I just thought if I keep saying I could run with that idea. And but just normal tissue. Have I blown the illustration?
Just do it.
but this tissue, as fragile as it is where you are right now. Now, to do this, or at least illustrate, I need some help. Pete, can you help me here with this? Come on down here. Being the great storm chaser you are, Pete, this particular piece of PVC pipe, that's all it is, represents storms that you face in life. This is the timeline of your life. This is you. And what happens is the storms just blow through your life on a regular basis. And Pete, just go ahead and show us what happens when storms come along. And ultimately what happens is storm comes along and it basically can blow you away if you're not careful. There's a lot of people that move through life that way. A lot of people face life not really knowing where the next source of help is coming from and not really knowing how to handle it. And so what I want to illustrate for you, because I don't want to minimize the reality of storms, but it's simply this, that as you move through life, you have decisions to make. You have a choice to make. And if this indeed represents your life and represents you, then all of us have to deal with how we're going to face those storms, what they're going to look like, how well we're going to do, whether or not we're going to be able to survive and move toward tomorrow or not. And so something has to happen. You make a choice. You make a decision. You add something to your life, to your existence, to your world. In this case, to illustrate it, we're going to use salt. Because the Bible says that we are salt and light. And when you make a decision to follow Jesus, then you've made a choice where something else becomes a part of your life, part of your existence. And so it's salt. Now that is the average daily adult requirement for salt. But after you add that, then something else begins to happen. Pete, go ahead. Show us what happens when storms come along. No, just steady pressure on it. Just push. What happens?
It won't go through.
Are you pushing hard?
Actually, I'm pushing pretty hard.
I mean, if this were like a
magic... I had one finger on it before when the tissue was there.
Yeah. If this were a magic trick, I'd ask you, have we ever met before? Okay. So basically, you just can't push that through. And the difference is simply because there's salt. There's a buffer between you and the storm. And you have to understand, thanks Pete, that there's a reality to all of our lives. That you're going to be moving through time, but you will make choices that determine how you will face the storms when they come, because indeed the storms are going to come. There's nothing about today that says that we're going to diminish the reality of storms. They're real. They're there. And yet at the same time, what you have to understand is that the way that you face the storms says so much about who you are and your faith in Jesus. The Bible actually talks about storms, and it talks about how wind has always been a sign of God's presence. In Job 38:1, it says this, "Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and spoke." In John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, "The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes from or where it's going. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Acts chapter 2, verse 2, it says, "And suddenly there was from heaven a noise like a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting." In other words, God tends to show up in the wind. And sometimes in those storms that come along in life, we learn so much more about our faith than we ever thought that we would. And if the storms don't come, guess what? You don't learn those lessons about your faith, and you don't find out how strong your faith is. Storms are real. Storms are powerful. But God is more powerful. A psalm that maybe you have never read before or haven't paid attention to before is Psalm 104. Let me read you the first four verses because it deals with creation a little bit. It says, "Praise the Lord, my soul. Lord, my God, you are very great. You are clothed with splendor and majesty. The Lord wraps himself in light as a garment. He stretches out the heavens like a tent, and he lays the beams of his upper chambers on their waters, and he makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind. He makes the wind his messengers, flames of fire his servants." In verse 3, there is such a descriptive phrase of God, and I think it's one of the coolest descriptions of God that we find in all of Scripture. You heard it. I just read it. I'll read it to you again. "He makes the clouds his chariot, and he rides on the wings of the wind." So when God wants to go someplace, he can stand on the wind and ride it. That's a description of the greatness and the bigness and the power of God. See, when we talk about storms being powerful, we think about storms that we have to face, like a tornado or a hurricane, and we've seen those. We've lived through those. We lived through one not too long ago. And we know what they're like, and they're kind of scary, and they're kind of frightening. But can you imagine someone being big enough, strong enough, mighty enough to be able to stand on the winds and ride it wherever he wanted? That's God. And that's why when he calls you to be salt and light, and that's why when he calls you to follow him, he does something with your life, and he doesn't exempt you from storms. They're coming. But he asks you to trust him. Allow him to be that buffer. Allow him to be the one that guides you through those storms. And when you make that choice, then anything becomes possible. The psalmist then goes on and he talks about the winds being his messenger. And you got to realize, though, that when we go back and you read the psalm, this happened long before the days of cell phones, long before email, long before communication was done by punching a little device and knowing that they would be getting it instantly. So for the psalmist to write that he sends messages on the wind, he's writing from the perspective of the fastest way to get anything there would be to send it on a breeze and allow it to be delivered. And the context matters because now he's talking about not only does God ride the wind, but he communicates in the midst of the wind and he can get his message to you and there's nothing that can stop it. This is a psalm about the bigness and the greatness of God. And when we come to know Jesus, we become a part of his body, a part of the family. We become part of what they call the church, the called out of God. And when you make a decision to follow Christ, he dwells within you. And now the one who walks on the wind, who owns the wind, who controls it all, lives within you. And it frees you up to become and be and do more than you ever thought possible. See, I said it earlier. What kind of a far-fetched plan is that? That he would use us. But he does. And he unleashes us on the world to touch and change it with his love. Would you bow your heads and hearts and let's pray as we continue our celebration. God, it doesn't always make sense to us. Sometimes we look in the mirror and we realize how far short we've come of being who you want us to be. And yet, because of your love and because of your power and because of your strength and your grace and your forgiveness and your mercy, you take us beyond all of our shortcomings. And we're able to move and follow you. And you blow us through this world that we live in. And you give us opportunity after opportunity to encounter, touch, nudge, speak, love, and change the world. And Heavenly Father, when we do it right, when we're willing to serve you, in that moment we've stepped into the greatness that you called us to. And so even now, as we continue to sing, I pray, Heavenly Father, that you would remind us of that. Remind us of the bigness and the greatness that is all wrapped up in you. And how we, because of who you are, get to be a part of that. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand? Would you be seated?
As I said a moment ago, we spend a lot of our lives chasing Him and trying to figure out what it is that He wants us to do. And so, keeping that idea in mind, I know that we left you hanging a second ago with a riveting film where we had storm chasers now going out, and we heard reports that there is a bear-nado out there. And so it's a dangerous time. I know some of you have been worried about that, so I'm glad we were able to sing for you and refocus you for just a moment. But now we are going to terrify you. We're going to show you, well, what happens next. So take a look at the screen, if you would, for part two.
So I take it you're not interested in helping or my offer.
Well, it's not that we're not interested. We just need some more information.
For starters, how did you lose control of these tornadoes?
Well, simply put, the building is stuck and we can't turn it off. It is producing and creating its own energy. So once the fans were turned off, the building started drawing in its own hot air and we couldn't stop it. So now it's constantly forming a vortex, and the more powerful ones are escaping, and we can't control
them. Weather made you think you could control
them? Yeah, by trying to control the weather, you're trying to play God.
No, we aren't. We're trying to help people by producing clean energy. These tornadoes, when controlled, can produce 200 megawatts of power.
That's about it. Enough power for 200,000 homes.
Exactly.
But you can't handle the storms.
And you want us, well, actually, you need us to do it for you.
Not necessarily. What if the atmosphere attackers or the cyclone ninjas have already got a solution?
No way. We worked with them knuckleheads before. Ain't gonna happen.
So not only do we need to stop the storm, we may have to save some storm chasers in the process.
Trying to do here? Pretty neat, isn't it? This is our latest invention.
It's a microwave injector, Coriolis reversal oscillator. It's patented. Don't even think about ripping this off.
Oh, I think we're good. We will not be ripping that off.
What's it do?
Well, it uses microwaves to heat the cool rainy downdraft in the center of the tornado.
You fire this into the center of the tornado, energy disrupts the downdraft, shuts it down.
I don't think firing a twister full of bears is such a good idea.
Tornado, bear-nado, it doesn't matter. It's going to work. All right, fire up the power pack, Shelly. You know what? I think I got a plan that might help. What we need to do here is we need to move the storm someplace to where it loses its power.
That is so silly. How are you going to do that?
Wait a minute. I got a thought. What if we move the storm to someplace where it loses its power?
That sounds like a great plan. What do we do?
Ladies and gentlemen, I have a smidgen of good news for you. As the bear-nado has dissipated and dropped off the bears very conveniently within the Central Florida Zoo. However, we have new reports coming straight out of Oviedo. A new twister has popped up, and you guessed it. It's picked up the Oviedo chickens! People, we've got a chicken-nado! This is a really foul situation. If you hear a buck, don't be going outside! outside, no matter how curious you are. There's flying feathers, it's way high speed, and you don't want to get hit by a flying chicken.
This tornado's bigger than the other one.
Yeah, but that's not a tornado, that's a chicken-nado?
I wonder what they're trying to do.
I don't know. Let's find out. Okay, what is it?
This is the Whirlwind 2000. It can handle this chicken-nado. We designed it, we built it, and this is going to be a great test.
Well, how's this thing work?
That's the crazy part. It's so simple, it's brilliant.
This is a high-powered heater. We add heat to the air. A lot of heat. Dry heat. The heat crosses the cooler downdraft, and it robs the tornado of all its energy.
That's the crazy part. See, the hot stream crosses with the cool stream, and the storm disappears.
Well, that does sound crazy.
The heat is pumped through these pipes, and we create the power by using mini turbines.
Wait a minute here. What we gotta do is we gotta get a plan so that we can move the storm to somewhere where it loses power.
That's silly. How are you gonna do that?
Wait. What if we move the storm to somewhere where it would lose its power?
That's brilliant.
That's a great plan.
I just said it.
Let's blow the chickenado to some place that always needs chicken.
Does tenderize tenders.
Ladies and gentlemen, seems as though Chickenado has passed. And a slight bright spot in all of this craziness, Huey Magoo's is running a Chickenado special. But I don't suggest you going out there right now because the worst of all is occurring right now. There are twisters bouncing from church to church to church, picking up the steeples. It can't be explained. We're calling it Church NATO. This is the most unpredictable of them all. We don't know how to track it. There's no way. Just stay inside and hunker down.
Well, now what are we gonna do? We're the only storm chasing team left.
Well, wait a minute. I may have a plan. What if we could battle the storm from inside?
Bridger, come on, that's silly.
Wait a minute. This is good. This is good. What if we could battle the storm from the inside?
Whoa.
I love that plan. That's great.
How do we do it?
Wait a second. Just a doggone minute. Every time I come up with a plan, she says it's silly, and Michael says the exact same thing, and then you say it's brilliant.
Yeah? What is plan?
Well, I got a plan. It's a good plan. You didn't follow it.
Well, what is it?
I'll show you what it is.
Right.
You just wait and see. This is it.
Oh, my goodness. What is it?
Did you build this thing?
No, but I've been working with a company that's been developing it.
Really? What company is that?
That is top secret, my friend. And it's on a need-to-know basis, and you don't need to know.
Well, can we know how it works?
What you got to do here is you got a pilot and a co-pilot, and pretty much the tornado's going to lift it right up, and it's going to ride the winds right up to the vortex to where it can be capturing the most powerful part of the storm. And once you've got the heart of the storm, then you can control the storm.
Wait, wait, you're going to put two people in that thing and fly them into the storm?
That's how it works.
All right, I'll go.
Yeah.
I love to fly.
All right, man.
I guess I'll go too. Keep him out of trouble.
We come back with the heart of the storm, just like we promised. That's also one of those films that you don't know how to get out of, so you just, well, we'll fly. And that's just, it works every time. Now, fine job, by the way, you guys. I'm absolutely. You can meet some of the cast at lunchtime, I would imagine. But there is a special with Huey Magoo's right now, I hear. So just, if we can do that. As we think about storms and we think about the power of God and we recognize that he frees us to become a force of change in the world, more powerful than any storm at all, I want to tell you that Scripture reminds us of that. And maybe in a passage that, again, we often kind of skip past because of where it's located, maybe. I think it gets lost sometimes in the story. It's found in John chapter 14. It's one verse, verse 12. And we'll look at that in just a second. But I want to tell you about a man and a woman who had a child, and after about 3 years, the wife starts to think that her child just looks different. Doesn't look like either parent. So she decides to have a DNA test done. And then the DNA test comes back, and she finds out that the child is actually from a completely different set of parents. And so she tells her husband, she says, "Honey, I have something very serious to tell you." And he says, "Well, what's wrong?" And she says, "According to DNA test results, this is not our child." And the husband says, "Well, don't you remember when we were leaving the hospital, you noticed that our baby had a wet diaper, and you said, 'Honey, go change the baby.'" And I did. Now, that didn't really happen, but the idea is that somehow, some way, we've lost the message, I think, that God wanted us to get when it came to what it meant to be a follower and what it meant to be church. Jesus said this in John 14, verse 12. He says this, "Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these he will do, because I'm going to the Father." Now, what happens sometimes is we read that verse and we blow past it so quick because we don't really understand the implications of that. Because, see, when we read it on a quick read, and a lot of people do this and a lot of people blow the translation of it, they really do believe that it means something that it doesn't. Because when they read the words greater works, they think more miraculous. Now, I don't know about you, but you and I think, would be hard-pressed to walk on water, feed 10,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Most of us are hard-pressed to raise the dead. I don't know of any follower since Jesus who has done those things, let alone something even more miraculous. And the other thing that I know you can't do and I can't do is I can't die and pay the price to forgive you for your sin. So I don't think it means more miraculous. I think that's a very poor translation. But in the context of what he is saying, and it's always important to understand the context, Jesus is talking to his disciples who are getting ready to be filled with the Holy Spirit and begin moving and doing this work that he has called them to do. And he says, and you will do greater works than I. Most church historians, most church scholars, most biblical scholars believe that the whole scope of things that Jesus is saying here has to do with the impact that his church will have once he has gone back to the Father. Once he moves and leaves walking among his disciples on planet Earth, what begins to happen, and we read it, and we read it unfolding in the book of Acts, that we find that the church becomes an agent of change that blows across the culture and changes the culture. No matter what you hear on the news today, the people of God are the primary movers and shakers that have shaped world history. Have there been some rough moments? Of course there have. But if you think about all the things that we get to enjoy and all the things that have happened and emerged because of the followers of Jesus Christ and that early church being faithful and doing what they needed to do, they shaped the culture around them. And the things that we consider to be things that are just normal today, educational systems, hospitals, the simple idea that you're going to take care of those around you, and you're going to take care of those in the community that have needs around you. Where do you think those ideas came from? Culturally, you can't find them in existence anywhere until the emergence of the church, the followers of Jesus Christ, begin moving across the landscape of culture. And I want you to know that I am just as convinced today as I was 25 years ago, as I was 30 years ago, as I was when I began to start understanding what church was supposed to be, that we are to be the agents of change in the world around us. That is your call and that is my call. We are to touch and change the world with the love of Christ. And we are to see things and do things, things that Jesus' early disciples never could have imagined. That kind of impact in the world around us. And the question for each of us as followers is, are we willing to do it? He's greater than the storms. He rides the wind. And he unleashes us as the strongest force of change in the world that we live in every day. A church NATO, if you will. And the challenge for us and the question for us is, how are we doing with that? See, when you begin and you make that decision to believe, trust, and follow Jesus, you begin a journey, and a journey that is full of growth, a journey that is full of change. We call it transformation. And it allows you to become more than you are. And so if you're sitting here today and you take inventory of your life and you're not more than you were a year ago, then guess what? It's time to get busy and start growing. And your influence is much bigger and broader than you ever thought it would be. And beginning next week, we're going to begin a series called Launch. We're going to take this idea of a church NATO, a force that's moving through the world, and look and see what it feels like to launch you out into the world, standing on the promises of God, the one who can surf the wind, and knowing that you don't have to be afraid, and knowing that he can use you to make a change in the places that you go each and every day of your life. A force of change in the world, touching and changing the world, who you were created to be. Would you bow your heads and hearts, and let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we have the opportunity to step up, step in, and step out into a world that desperately needs to know you. We have a chance to be that agent of change, to do those works that go so far beyond what so many thought in that upper room so many years ago. And we're amazed and in awe that you would use regular people just like us to impact the world. And yet you save us, and you gift us, and you dwell in us. And we're never alone. And we begin to discover your faithfulness each step of the way and each step of our journey as we rely on you and follow the path that you have for us. I pray that for each individual in this room, in the midst of the celebration this day, that they would be reminded again that that is the call that you've placed on each of our lives. And Heavenly Father, I also pray that for us as a body, for us as a group of people, that together we would be reminded that we can be so much more and do so much more than we ever dared to dream, simply because we are your people, your church in the world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Would you stand? A thousand times I have failed, your mercy remains. Should I stumble again, I'm caught in your grace. Everlasting, your light will shine when all else fades. Never ending, your glory goes beyond all fame.
Bring you praise from the inside of home.
are. I just noticed on the app it says Churchnado, the motion picture. Right there, that's us. Yeah, right there on the app, already updated. So you can watch it again on the way to lunch. It ends the same, but it's still fun. We just wanted to take this day and make sure that as we celebrate through the course of this day, you take a moment and recognize the amazing blessing that God has given us and just how cool it is and how awesome he takes two different ministries on a 25-year track and weaves them together into what we are calling Surge Day. Short of God doing that, it doesn't happen. And that is part of that miracle way that God works. And there's a lot of times in your life, I think, when you get frustrated maybe with God because he doesn't seem to be doing what you think he's doing. And I can promise you this, he's never doing what you think he's doing. But he's always doing something bigger, and he's always doing something greater, and he's always doing something more. And our call as followers is to follow him, discover that, and ride that with him, and allow him to take you and use you to do incredible things. And so today, once again, we get to celebrate that. Glenn Rogers was here this morning. I know some of you got a chance to visit with him. Glenn, as you know, is so much a part of this ministry. He's our area missionary, director of missions for the Seminole Baptist Association. As he left this morning, he looked at me and he goes, I can promise you there is not another church in America doing what you're doing today. He goes, I wish I could stay, but I got to go preach somewhere. And I asked him, I said, and you're probably glad about that. He goes, well, I'm not sure yet. I'll watch online and find out. But for us, we don't take a whole lot of time. We don't look backwards a lot because we're always moving forward. But we do like to celebrate and remember what God has done. And so thank you for being a part of that journey. It's been a fun journey. It's an exciting journey. I can't wait to see what he's going to do next and what the next chapter holds. And thank you for just being a part of that and being willing to trust and allow us to do that. You guys were fantastic, as I said. What a great job. And you got to know, what we have fun doing those things. But these guys, at this point, after 25 years, I guess we've gotten to the point where they're willing to give up a Sunday afternoon or whenever we're doing it. They walk in. They don't get to see the script before we start. And basically, over the course of just a few hours, they have to create something. And so they get to fill in a lot of gaps themselves, and we create a lot of stuff, and they get to develop, goofy things happening on the fly. Richard is selling that little thing that he had in his mouth that is available to you. Money is going to go toward charity. We're going to give it toward the Christmas store this year. And so if you want to bid on that, feel free to do that. The hat, he will not give up. That was a gift to him from Tommy, so he's going to keep that. But you can pick that up later. All right, Leanne, what do we need to know about this afternoon?
Okay, well, the good news is 81 of you are going to lunch with us.